Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As we continue to spend time in God's presence, I want us to read, take our Bibles to the portion Psalm 23, Sangeetanam, 23rd Sangeetanam, Nanga Chernu Vaikyam. Let us read this psalm together. It's a psalm that is very familiar to all of us. So most of you probably don't even need to take your Bibles for the psalm. But let's read this psalm together, Psalm chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us just take a moment to thank God for this beautiful psalm this morning. He is our shepherd. We shall not want. We will be in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Mercy and favor and God's love will pursue after us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us just take this time to thank God this morning for this beautiful psalm. Hallelujah. 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 Our Heavenly Father in heaven, Father God, we thank you, Father, for this beautiful morning that we get to call you, Father, as our Abba, Father, as our personal Father, God. Lord Jesus, as we lift up our cry to you and our praise and worship to you, Lord Jesus, Father, we ask you, Father, will you speak to us this morning? Father, we are your sheep, Father. You are our shepherd, Father. And Lord, you are the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. We thank you that, Father, we look to you and our hope will never be disappointed. Father, we pray that you give us the strength and wisdom that we need and speak to us this morning. I pray that this whole service, Father, let your spirit continue to transform us and make us more like you. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Good morning, church. Hope all of you are doing well. You know, this psalm, Psalm 23, is a very dear psalm to all of us. It's a psalm that we memorize from a very young age. Most of us as children, you know, our parents tell us to memorize the psalm. Usually the first psalms we memorize is usually Psalm 23 or Psalm 1. One of these psalms are the ones which you usually memorize. So, you know, we know the psalm inside out. Sometimes the problem with familiarity is we lose its significance. The more familiar we are with the topic, the less significant sometimes the riches can be. So this is a psalm that I think all of us have memorized at one point or have read multiple times at one point, have turned our Bibles for comfort at this one point. We have sang songs from the psalm about saying the Lord is my shepherd. So this is not a strange psalm to us. This is not a psalm that is significantly different from the psalms, from what we are used to hearing. But as how I usually do, I just want to break up this psalm into three different sections. Okay, Psalm 23 is a psalm of David, and it is in the first book of Psalm. Remember, I said a few weeks ago that Psalm is divided into five books. So this first book of Psalm is Psalm 1 to Psalm 41, and Psalm 23 is one of the principal middle psalm of this psalm, of the book 1 of Psalm. And throughout the psalms, the series that God is the shepherd is a stirring image that keeps popping up throughout the psalm. But this psalm in verses 1 to verses 4, you can see that the psalmist is saying the Lord is the shepherd and the psalmist is a sheep. So that is Psalm 23 verses 1 to 4. The Lord is the psalmist shepherd. He is Sangeetanakarinte idayanana. And in verses 1 to 4, you see that the psalmist is a sheep. Ee sangeethanam ezhuthunnal oru sheep aanu. It's like a sheep. Verses 5 is mainly focusing on the banquet table. So now the psalmist is a guest and God is his host. So in verse 5, അഞ്ചാം വാക്യത്തിൽ അവിടെ ഒരു ഒരു മാറ്റം വരുന്നു, ഇമേജിന് ഒരു മാറ്റം വരുന്നു. എന്തുവാണ്? ദൈവം ഒരു ഹോസ്റ്റ് ആണ്, ഒരു വിരുന്ന് ഉണ്ടാക്കുന്ന ഒരു ഹോസ്റ്റ്. ഹീസ് എ പേഴ്സൺ ഹു പ്രിപ്പയർസ് ദ ടേബിൾ, എ ബാങ്ക്വറ്റ്, എ ഫീസ്റ്റ്. ആൻഡ് ദ പേഴ്സൺ ഹു വാസ് എ ഷീപ്പ് ഈസ് നൗ എ ഗസ്റ്റ് ഓർ എ മെമ്പർ ഓട്ട് ദ ടേബിൾ. ആറാം വാക്യത്തിൽ വാട്ട് വി സീ ഇൻ ദ വേഴ്സ് 6, വി സീ ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് person is dwelling in the house of the Lord. ദൈവത്തിന്റെ വീട്ടിൽ അല്ലെങ്കിൽ ആലയത്തിൽ സ്ഥിരമായി അല്ലെങ്കിൽ നിത്യതയിൽ താമസിക്കുന്നു. So it is, you're seeing that the psalmist is now living in the house of the Lord forever. So three transitions you see in this psalm. When we look at it, we see three different transitions. ആദ്യത്തെ ട്രാൻസിഷൻ is the psalmist as a sheep. The second transition is the psalmist as a guest or a member at a table at a banquet. And the third part is living in the banquet forever, living in the house of the Lord forever. Even when we just outline this three, it becomes very clear that this is the life of a Christian. I don't have to preach anymore. You already got the message. If you understood these three different things of how the sheep lives his life, and then finally becomes from sheep to an honored guest at a banquet. And what is this banquet? The marriage, this marriage feast that is going to happen in heaven. And then the psalmist recognizes that they are going to be in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this is the story of every Christian. But this psalm, let's look at it even deeper, because this is a beautiful psalm. I love this psalm. Psalm 23 is a beautiful psalm. I love Psalm 23. I've gone to it for comfort. I often use this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, in my messages. Just because when you understand the meaning of what that psalm is singing, it's just a beautiful imagery. One of the first times I preached a sermon was about the good shepherd. ദൈവം ഒരു നല്ല ഇടയനാണ്. ഞാൻ ആദ്യത്തെ മെസ്സേജ്, എൻ്റെ ജീവിതത്തിൽ ആദ്യത്തെ മെസ്സേജ് കൊടുത്തപ്പോൾ ഇതായിരുന്നു എൻ്റെ ടോപ്പിക്. ദിസ് ഇസ് ദ ഫസ്റ്റ് ടോപ്പിക് ഐ പ്രീച്ച്ഡ്. ഗോഡ് ഈസ് എ ഗുഡ് ഷെപ്പേർഡ്. ഹൗ ഓൾഡ് വാസ് ഐ? ഐ വാസ് 7 ഇയേഴ്സ് ഓൾഡ്. ആൻഡ് ഐ വാസ് പ്രീച്ചിങ് അറ്റ് എ ടാലൻറ്റ് കോമ്പറ്റീഷൻ. സോ ഇറ്റ് വാസ് എ പ്രീച്ചിങ് കോമ്പറ്റീഷൻ. ഇറ്റ്സ് എ ടാലൻറ്റ് കോമ്പറ്റീഷൻ. You know how we have this speech competitions and things like that. So to the children who are less than 10 years old, they're given the topic 2 weeks in advance. So they are given the topic 2 weeks in advance, and they can preach on any 2-3 topics that is chosen. You can preach on any of the three. To the teens, you're given the topic, I think, maybe before when the event starts. And to the adult, you're given 5 minutes before they're preaching. They're going into a box and they have to pick a piece of paper and they have to preach then and there. So this is the competition that's going. It's a speech competition. It is a competition that's going. But so they gave us this topic, and I like the topic of the Good Shepherd. I know Psalm 23 memorized when I was 7. So I was like, you know what, let me, my mom also sat down. She was teaching me how to preach and how to prepare this message. So, you know, with a lot of help, we wrote down an entire sermon. And I wrote down a speech of how to get, and it's a very good speech written really well. And my mom tried to get me to memorize it. So I memorized this speech on the Good Shepherd. Don't ask me to ever say that again. I don't remember it now. But it was a speech that I memorized on the Good Shepherd. And it was featuring Psalm 23 and the Gospel of John, where God says, I am the Good Shepherd. So I was using these two scriptures. It was not my sermon, because someone wrote it for me. And I memorized it. And I went over it again and again and again. And I was able to repeat that sermon with my eyes closed. You know how sometimes parents say, if you're learning the multiplication tables, you know, like if anybody asks you in the middle of your sleep, what is 6 times 6? You should get up and say 36. You have to be so well versed with your tables that you should know it off the sleeve. Just like that, I also learned this sermon by heart. I did not understand the sermon, but I knew how to say it by heart. And then finally, the day came for the competition. I reached up there and my mom folded the piece of paper which had the sermon in it just in case I forgot. So, you know, if something happens. And I decided, okay, I don't need this. I put it in my pocket anyway. I go up there in front of the stage. And after I said, greetings to you all in the master's name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgot the rest of the sermon. It went complete blank. I looked at this, all the people at the stage, and I forgot what it is I had to say. And then I was like, I can't remember anything. So I take the paper from my pocket. And I bring it up and I try to open it, but the paper is shaking so much that I cannot read anything off the paper. So I start crying on stage and then I run out of the stage. So I run out of church. And as I run outside of church, I stood by a pillar and I said, God, I will never preach again. And now I'm preaching every week. That is God's story. That is how God changes and transforms us. If you look at my skill as a preacher, that was my humble beginnings. My humble starting was preaching about God is a good shepherd. And I forgot the sermon. I could not preach. I was afraid of speaking up ever again. And until the age of 9, I never spoke or preached again. Then at the age of 9, God filled me with the Holy Spirit and God put this word in my heart from Acts chapter 2, verse 1, how good is for the disciples to come together in unity. And when they prayed and the Spirit of God moved. And that was the message then I preached. But that time I preached with boldness because the Spirit of God changed my heart of fear and gave me the right words to speak. But the reason why I'm sharing this is because this is a psalm that is a very often preached, it's a familiar topic to all of us. The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. And when I look at this psalm, it brings me fond memories from my childhood, but also it also shows me how throughout my life, the trajectory of my life from when I was 7 years old and growing and so forth right now, the Lord has been my shepherd. He was my shepherd. He took care of me. He grew me. He nurtured me. He fed me. He allowed me and disciplined me. He chased after me. And, you know, for me, there is no greater story in my life than to say the Lord is my shepherd. And I have had no need for anything else in my life. You know, so let's look at the scripture once again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When we look at this, David is trying to say, this is the theme of the psalm. This is the one thing. If you don't get anything else from the psalm, verse 1 should be the one that sticks with you for your entire life. This is a psalm that is beloved by a lot of people everywhere. But this topic of a shepherd, or Idan, why is this being used, being attributed towards God? Because the image of a shepherd is the same as the image of a king. Uru rajavine karisthir akana uru imageana uru idayan. It is the image that portrays the image of a king. Oftentimes in the ancient Near East, during the times that these psalms were written, people considered kings to be shepherds and the people their sheep. So when the people said that the king is their shepherd, it is a sign of royalty. It is a sign of great honor. It's a sign saying that we are sheep and you are leading us. It's the leader or a rulership is being signified by this image of a shepherd. Why does he say, the psalmist says, I shall not want? Because the shepherd is enough and the shepherd covers everything that the sheep needs. So now the psalmist is going to say in the next following verses how this shepherd is all that this sheep needs or the psalmist needs. Verses 2, 3, and 4 are going to expound on this image and say how the shepherd is all in all for the sheep. Let's look at verse 2. It's a simple verse. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Now, if you have been in India, you may, or, you know, been around sheep, you may have noticed that sheep are very panicky creatures. They're creatures that get scared or spooked very easily. They're not very trusting. They're very scared easily. The only time a sheep will sit down is when it is absolutely safe. Even if you look at some of the cattle in Kerala, when you grow, the cattle is sitting down only when it knows it's in its comfort spot or safe spot where no one will harm it or bring danger to it. But sheep are even more scared than most cattle. So for the second verse, he makes me lie down in green pastures means the sheep knows that the shepherd will only take it to a safe place. It signifies trust. It signifies that they believe, the sheep believe that the shepherd has the best interest of the sheep. He leads me beside quiet waters. For a sheep, the two things that nurture a sheep is pastures and water. And both of these things is provided in plenty by the shepherd. So if you look at this image, it can look like this. It looks like the shepherd and the sheep are traveling towards a destination where they can get, the sheep can get plenty. It's a place of plentiness. And so the sheep are going further and further and further away with the shepherd. And the shepherd reaches this very nice destination, which is beautiful and green, filled with good green pastures and a lot of water for the sheep to get. This usually takes a few days. A shepherd and a sheep usually stay out in this green area for a few days. This is not a daily occurrence. It is not like one day they go out and then they come back. The shepherd and the sheep go out for a few days. When David was a shepherd and he took his sheep out, he was out far away and did not return to his family. He was there for a few days and then he would come back and bring the sheep. So when you are with your sheep, the shepherd is with the sheep, lives with the sheep, lives like the sheep, you know, just is one among the sheep almost. And the presence of the shepherd does not spook or does not scare the sheep because they know they can trust the shepherd. You know, one of the most common questions I get as a youth pastor or a pastor who often ministers to youth, the most common questions I get is, how do I know the voice of the Lord? എങ്ങനെയാണ് ദൈവത്തിൻ്റെ വോയിസ് തിരിച്ചറിയാൻ പറ്റുന്നത്? ഹൗ ഡു ഐ ഡിസേൺ വാട്ട് ഇസ് ദ വോയിസ് ഓഫ് ലോർഡ്? ഹൗ ഡു ഐ ഹിയർ ദ വോയിസ് ഓഫ് ഗോഡ്? ഇറ്റ്സ് എ വെരി കോമൺ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ ഐ റിസീവ്. ഹൗ ഡു ഐ നോ ഇറ്റ്സ് നോട്ട് മൈ മൈൻഡ്? ഇത് എൻ്റെ ചിന്തയല്ല, പക്ഷെ കർത്താവാണെന്ന് തിരിച്ചറിയാൻ പറ്റുന്നത്? ഇറ്റ്സ് എ വെരി കോമൺ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ ഐ ഗെറ്റ്. ഇറ്റ്സ് എ വെരി കോമൺ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ. ആൻഡ് ഓഫ്റ്റൻ ടൈംസ് ദ ബിബ്ലിക്കൽ ആൻസർ ഫോർ ദാറ്റ് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ ഇസ് മൈ ഷീപ് നോ മൈ വോയിസ്. ആൻഡ് sometimes, you know, when you just give that answer to the youth say, okay, good answer, okay. But it really does not satisfy their curiosity. Because what does it mean so the sheep know his voice? So if they ask, how do I know his voice? Does it mean that they are not his sheep? So they will not ask any questions. But if you proceed to look at this question even deeper, how does a sheep know the voice of the shepherd? Because of intimacy. You'll hear me say intimacy so many times in my messages. It is a key theme of our relationship with God. If I bring a new sheep, if I'm a shepherd, let's say I've never been a shepherd, but let's just say I'm a shepherd and I bring a new sheep into my fold and the sheep starts following me, I don't expect the sheep that is new to recognize my voice. I'm a stranger to the sheep, and the sheep is a stranger to me. But when I take the sheep with me to the green pastures and by the quiet waters and live with the sheep for a few days, the sheep will know my smell. The sheep will know my voice. The sheep will know my appearance. So now when I see sheep come to me, the sheep will follow me. In India, I used to, in Kerala, my grandparents had chickens and cats and things like that. So they had different things. And so we had a small cat growing up, and the cat was a beautiful white cat. The cat would go and do her business wherever she wanted, but when it was time for food, would come back. That's the nature of cats. So we used to say, Sweetie, that was her name. Sweetie, 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 come here. And Sweetie will not come if I'm calling. But if Ammachi calls, no matter where in the vicinity the cat is, the cat will come. Because Sweetie knows if I call, I'm calling only because I want to play with her tail. But if Ammachi calls, there is food on the table. You see, the cat can recognize the voice of both people, knows the voice of the master versus the voice of the bully, so to speak, because I was a bully to the cat. And the other thing also I've noticed is when I used to live in Kerala when I was in grade 8, we used to feed the chickens. And I know this might be hilarious to some of you guys, but bear with me here. And we'd say, ba 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 ba. And the more you make that noise, then the chickens will start running. Okay. But I saw my grandmother do this, and she'd say, ba 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 ba. And she will have this like wheat, gotham, like all these wheat grains that she would throw for the chicken. And whenever I said, ba 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 ba, none of the chickens would come running. Even if I had wheat, the chicken would not come. Only when Ammachi called or Appachan called, they would come. That is the voice that they have come to recognize. They know my voice is not the voice of the one who takes care of them. Towards the end, I lived there for 10 months. After about, I think, 4 months, the chicken came to know that my voice is trustworthy. So when I used to say, papa, 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 they would come running to get the wheat. So just because you became a new sheep does not mean you recognize the voice right away. The reason why I'm illustrating this point is, how does an animal or a pet know the voice of its master? How does the sheep know the voice of the shepherd? By spending time with the shepherd. Intimacy is important in discerning the voice of the shepherd. So if someone is asking this question, how do I recognize the voice of the shepherd or the voice of God? I would say intimacy is absolutely critical in recognizing or discerning the voice of God. If you don't spend time with God one-on-one and spend intimate time with him, do not expect to understand his voice when he calls to you. You will find his voice a stranger's voice. But the more intimate you are with God, his voice stands out from every other voice and becomes very clear who's your master. So just like that, this whole image in the second verse, he makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside quiet waters, is the image of intimacy of the sheep with the shepherd. They're spending one-on-one time with each other. The shepherd stays with the sheep, lives with the sheep, eats with the sheep, and does everything with the sheep. And so they know themselves very well. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Again, what is the whole point of restoring my soul? What the sheep needs, he gives, the shepherd brings. And the sheep recognizes that even no matter what destination the shepherd is going, the sheep will follow because at the end of that destination, the shepherd is there bringing it to a safe place. So oftentimes when she, in that time, when they would go to a place and the place would dry up because the green is over in that land. So the water is starting to get scarce. The sheep are eating up the pasture. So then there is no more pasture for it to eat. So the shepherd will start leading to a different place. And the sheep knows that the shepherd is taking it to a better spot and will follow the shepherd. So for us, as children of God, we have to trust that God is taking us to a destination that is better than the pasture we see right now. Sometimes the other sheep get distracted by what is going on around them because they are not paying attention to the shepherd. But the shepherd sheep know that when the shepherd is leaving, follow the shepherd because the shepherd is taking to a better spot, a greener area with better water. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and the staff, they comfort me. So when the sheep is going to this next destination, in Israel, a lot of the places that were these mountains, there are all these different hilly mountainous areas that the shepherd takes the sheep through. And some of these mountains are filled with sharp rocks and it's dangerous. Some people say that there is a place called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. There, I don't think there is. I looked it up and none of the commentaries mentioned that there is a little place with the Valley of the Shadow of Death. But what he's trying to say is, no matter how scary it gets, the sheep know that following the shepherd is the best. We see the rod and the staff as two different tools. So the shepherd will wear a rod on his belt. Kettedum oru rod. And a staff he is using as a walking stick. So these two things are things that he will, are guiding the shepherd, but also when there is any danger, the shepherd will raise the rod and raise the staff as a defense for the sheep. The sheep are absolutely defenseless creatures. Absolutely defenseless. If you see cows, at least they've got horns. But the sheep, they can't do anything. All they do is bleat. They just cry when there is danger. There's nothing it can do. It is totally reliant on the shepherd for safety. So the sheep, as it's going there, it sees the rod and the staff of the shepherd as a tool of defense in the most scariest places. No matter what circumstances you're going through to get to this second destination. Remember, we are sheep. The shepherd is leading us. We are leaving this pasture that we are finding comfortable, and the shepherd is taking us to a better spot. On the way, there is dangers. On the way, there might be sounds that we are unfamiliar with. On the way, there are difficult circumstances. But the shepherd who's leading us is faithful. If we follow him, nothing can come to get us. No wolf or bear can come and attack the sheep because the shepherd will use his rod and staff to protect it. In the same way, God is our shepherd when we are walking in the second destination. As long as we are following the shepherd, no wolf or bear can take us away from our end destination. And where is this end destination? Where is the shepherd taking us? Where is he going? That is where we come into verse 5. Anjam vakyathil varumbol adu nammal manasilakkan pattum. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. All of a sudden, the image changes. What sheep needs a table? No sheep eats from a table. The psalmist is now invited no longer as a sheep, but as a guest at a table. When Jesus was invited into the house of a Pharisee, just before he was there, we know the story that this woman who was caught in sin or was possessed by many demons, Mary of Bethany, came and poured out her anointing flask at the feet of Jesus. And the Pharisee thought this: if Jesus knew who this woman was, there was no way that Jesus would allow this woman to touch. Jesus heard his thought or understood what he was trying to think and said, "You see, when I came into your house, you did not greet me with a kiss. You did not anoint my head with oil. But this woman has done better." Why I'm bringing the story is, it is cultural practice in Israel for a guest, when they enter into the house, if it is an honored guest, to anoint the head of the guest with oil. Anointing of the head with oil is seen as a blessing or as an honor upon the guest. But you see, the psalmist suddenly changes and says that as a sheep he was reaching, but when he reached the destination, he became an honored guest. And God anointed his head with oil. He's no longer a sheep. He becomes an honored guest at the table. He gets a banquet. He gets a ticket to go to the banquet. You see, everyone who goes to the banquet is not honored. If you go to a marriage feast, everyone is sitting on tables. Where is the bride and groom seated? On top. Everyone else is sitting on very uncomfortable chairs. Where's the bride and groom seated? On a beautiful love couch or a sofa. The other side is, the bride and groom don't eat. Everyone else eats. But the thing is, the bride and groom are honored guests. They're seated above everyone else, and they get the most comfiest couch. So in the same way, when the sheep reach the destination that the shepherd is taking, the sheep is not like the marriage attendees. They are on the honored pedestal. They are on par with the guest. They are higher than the guest. They are higher than the attendees. When everybody else is looking on, the person who is sitting there is being honored above everyone else. In the same way, when we reach our destination, we will be honored because we are the bridegroom. We are with our bridegroom. We are not the bridegroom. We are with the bridegroom. We are the bride. We are the one who are going to be honored. All the people who persecuted the church, all of the people who looked down, all the wolves and the bears that tried to steal us from the journey will watch us as we are sitting there on the feast, along with the bridegroom, along with the bridegroom. We will be honored. And then verse 6, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the image of the bride. This is the image of the church. After the marriage feast, he will be with our Lord. We will be in his house. He will comfort us. He will shelter us. He will nourish us. He will feed us. Girls often experience this. The pain of leaving their families and joining with the family of the male, of the husband. It is sometimes very scary and uncomfortable, because they're leaving everything that they're used to and joining with the household whose manners and customs are different from the customs they used to when they grew up. But then, when the intimacy of the husband and wife is great, the wife will say, "My husband is all I need. I don't need anyone else. I've learned to see that my husband is my household. You see, this is the story of the church. Sabayude kadayana idu. This is the story of the church. We are sheep. We are walking in the destination. God is our shepherd. But when we reach our destination, we won't be sheep. We will be the bride. And after the marriage, we are with our husband forever. No longer will our heart long for what we are missing here. No longer will our heart be worried about what are the states at home. Our joy, our passion, our desire will be for our husband, Jesus. He will be our bridegroom. He will be the one that we live with. And he will be our shepherd. We shall not want. I hope that this sort of brought a new perspective to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me on the path of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the story of the church. This is your and my story. When we understand this beautiful story, that this is a story that God has written even before Jesus came, the story, the framework of the story was given to David. And he understood this mystery even before Jesus came. How much more should we understand this mystery? Because we have experienced Jesus for ourselves. We are the New Testament bride. We are the New Testament bride. We are the church. If we truly understand this, let's just keep following the shepherd. Every other distraction, throw it out. No pasture, no quiet water is worth following the shepherd. That might mean you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That might mean you might go through different persecutions or troubles or circumstances. Stay on the path. God is defending you with his rod and his staff. When you reach the destination, to the one who endures until the end, to him will be given the crown of salvation. He will anoint your head with oil. Let us just say a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you, Father, for this beautiful morning. As we spend time reading this very familiar psalm, it's a reminder of our journey as a Christian, a reminder that we need to walk, that we need to look for you, hear for your voice, and follow after you. Father, Lord, I pray, Father, for those of us who are experiencing quiet waters. I pray for those of us who are experiencing green pastures. I pray for those of us who might be distracted by that. I pray for those of us who are experiencing the valleys of the shadow of death. I pray for those of us who might have lost ourselves and have grown weary of listening to your voice. I pray for those of us who are seeing wolves and bears and all kinds of dangers around us and afraid of following after you. Lord, I pray for each and every single one of us. Will you teach us to listen for your voice? Grow that intimacy with you, to trust you, that you are our shepherd. And that we do not need any other. Nothing else compares to the intimacy we have with you. You protect us. You shield us. You are good enough. I pray that God, that as we reach to this fulfillment of being made into your bride, that you dress us in white. You anoint our head with oil. And you refill our cup. And that all the people who watch, Father, the people who could not be part of the bride, will be put to shame when they see the marriage feast of the Lamb and the church. And God, we know that once we reach under your full protection, because that is our hope, that, Lord, surely goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in your house for all eternity. We look forward to that day with expectant hope and joy. And we look for the day that that will be fulfilled. Let your spirit continue to work in us. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen. And God bless you all with these words.